This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Sean Wade. Sean's with Plains Cotton Growers, set to join us in just a few moments. First off, Alfredo Gomez is director of the Natural Resources Team with the Government Accountability Office, or GAO, talking a little more about EPA and the Clean Water Act.
Currently, there are about 335,000 facilities with active permits. The category of facilities are complex, but they generally fall into major and non-major facilities. So the major facilities include municipal wastewater treatment plants that release more than 1 million gallons per day, and industrial facilities that are releasing higher levels of toxic pollutants. Major facilities account for about 7,000 facilities.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Sean Wade. Sean is Director of Policy Analysis and Research with Plains Cotton Growers. And Sean, first off, we're going to start with the fact that you've been on the road. And really, the event you're at this week is kind of an annual event, but it really leads up to what will be a busy time of travel over the next few months with more meetings. But let's start with the one you're at right now.
Yeah, Tony, you know, we've been traveling today, like you said, down to College Station for a Southwest Council of Agribusiness meeting. Going to have a meeting down here to kind of discuss farm bill issues and ideas and try to, you know, put some ideas together and get in preparation for the 2023 Farm Bill debate, which, as you know, will be, you know, really getting kicked off in earnest once the new Congress comes back into session in 2023 with, you know, new leadership on the House side and continuing leadership, you know, from the Democrats on the Senate side. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of opportunity, I think, to discuss, you know, ideas and policy concepts on, you know, just try to flesh out some ideas on how we can maybe work to improve the current farm safety net, maybe shore up some of those places where we've seen some weaknesses, and maybe add to bolster some of those components that have been working very well for producers across the country. So it's an exciting time and exciting meeting to be down here and to be able to partake in those discussions. And like I said, it's going to just kind of be the precursor to a lot more travel and a lot more discussion as we get into the new year and the Farm Bill debates in 2023.
Well, we'll swing back around, talk about that in just a moment. Let's talk about the fact that you had the opportunity to drive a few miles, probably saw maybe a field or two with still a bit of cotton left in it, but for the most part, we're nearing the completion, aren't we?
Yeah, I think we're getting pretty close, you know, to the last of the 2022 crop in the field. You know, we've seen some delays that producers have had to kind of work through with some of the rain showers and cold fronts that have kind of come through over the last 2 to 3 weeks. But certainly as those conditions improve, as things get dried down, producers are jumping right back in and trying to get the rest of that cotton out of the field. And I think you can see that, you know, from the classing office reports and the chinning reports, you know, gins are being able to, for the most part, keep up with the harvest progress, as is the classing office. So wouldn't be very surprised to see, you know, the vast majority of this cotton harvested, ginned, and even classed shortly after the first of the year. Certainly by the middle of the third week of January, I would think we would be with just very little cotton left to process.
When you look at the cotton on the High Plains, and obviously this is the largest cotton growing region in the U.S., where would you put this year's crop in comparison to other years as far as the actual production of it? Would we be right in line with our average, if you will, or would we be below? Would we be 80% under 50%? What would you think we'd be at right now?
Well, you know, I think, you know, the way this crop is beginning to, you know, kind of form up, and then, you know, as we kind of get a better idea of, you know, what the size of this crop is going to be, you know, we know 2022 was a very difficult year from a drought perspective and weather, and certainly the production is bearing that out. You know, the High Plains is basically on track to produce about a third of what they produced last year in 2021, and, you know, probably about 40%, 30 to 40% of, you know, maybe the 10-year average production level. So, you know, we're well below what we would like to see, and certainly below kind of what our average would forecast us to be at on a production side. But, you know, again, it's probably one of the top three or four toughest years as far as, you know, the combination of drought and heat and all of the things that have kind of conspired to really limit the producers' options in the 2022 growing season. So, you know, we're thankful for the cotton that we've been able to produce, and actually, you know, maybe a few of these fields are producing a little bit more than folks thought they might. So that's certainly a good sign. But, you know, for the most part, producers are, you know, kind of regrouping and, you know, trying to figure out what their plans are going to be for 2023. Certainly looking at these markets to see, you know, what that demand potential may be, and also, you know, what those planning options might be for 2023. So, a lot of decision making, beginning to be done, on the High Plains and elsewhere. And, you know, a lot of plans are beginning to be made. As we kind of just limp into the 2023 growing season, I guess is one way to put it, but certainly well below where we would like to be on an annual basis.
We talk about 2023, and we look back at some of the net farm income projections from the past few years. Those have really been buoyed by ad hoc payments, if you will. And those are really kind of difficult to pencil in when producers start talking to bankers about how they're going to manage 2023. So I imagine there's some interesting conversations there, aren't there?
There really are. You know, we've seen the last couple of years, like you mentioned, you know, we've seen some very difficult production situations going back to 2020 and then the 2022 crop. We've seen, you know, just rapid escalations in input costs in some instances corresponding with some, you know, very, very, very high prices for various commodities. But, you know, a lot of times the net impact isn't as much as what we'd like to see when those prices are high, just because of those increased production costs. So, yeah, there's a lot of, you know, figuring being done, and you're exactly on point in that we can't count on ad hoc disaster assistance. You can't pencil that into, you know, that is going to be there if we have another situation in 23. And it's always, you know, well behind the curve of the impact of the economic harm that a producer has to endure, you know, to get to that point. So, again, those are the type of things that producers and bankers are talking about together. It's the type of things that commodity groups and congressional leaders are discussing in relation to the farm safety net. So, you know, there's a lot of things that we need to look at and try to see, you know, where we can, you know, maybe make some improvements to help bring a little bit more certainty to this industry that we really rely on so much here on the High Plains of Texas.
Well, and we haven't even talked about some of the challenges we have with actually growing the crop, whether that's through pest issues or weed issues or seed issues. And a lot of that gets covered here in the next few weeks in New Orleans. What's happening?
Yeah, right after the first of the year in New Orleans, we'll have the 2023 Bellwide Cotton Conferences. I would encourage producers, if they're interested, to kind of look up the information on the Bellwide Conferences and consider maybe attending those. A lot of educational material is going to be presented at Bellwood. A lot of research on just the topics that you discussed, you know, seed and varieties, you know, pest management, weed management, disease and insect, you know, disease management, just, you know, the whole, I mean, the whole gamut of issues that producers have to try and, you know, figure out how to handle on a daily basis. Those are the topics that are covered at Bellwood. And, you know, it's just a very good opportunity to get the very latest information, learn about the newest cotton varieties, learn how new varieties are performing in different variety trials across the Cotton Belt and across our region and in the High Plains region. And, you know, come together with fellow, you know, and just, you know, maybe share some fellowship with those cotton researchers that, you know, rely on producers to kind of give them an idea of, you know, what are the topics that they need to be looking into? What do they need to be addressing on behalf of the producer? So it's a very good meeting, and would encourage folks to go to the National Cotton Council's website, www.cotton.org, click on the Bellwood Cotton Conferences link, and look into maybe attending the Bellwood Conferences in New Orleans here that second week of January.
And, of course, that's just one event that's coming up over the next few months. A lot of different county level and area wide meetings. Is that something y'all keep up with on the website?
It is. You know, we'll try to keep track of, you know, all the regional cotton conference meetings that are happening around the High Plains to, you know, give producers an opportunity to, you know, hear about, you know, some of the topics that we've just discussed, and also maybe to earn some of those continuing education credits that they need to maintain, you know, their pesticide applicator licenses. But, you know, we'll really begin to see those meetings kick off the middle, the latter part of January and through February. There'll be a lot of opportunities for producers to come together and visit with, you know, extension and research personnel from Texas Tech, Texas A&M, West Texas A&M, to, you know, kind of learn, you know, what they can do to maybe mitigate some of the issues that they're dealing with on their farms.
And again, if you want to keep up with what's happening at Plains Cotton Growers, it's online, plainscotton.org. That's plainscotton.org. Sean Wade is Director of Policy Analysis and Research with Plains Cotton Growers on today's Agribusiness Report. Did you know that the world-famous Café Du Monde has always used cottonseed oil to fry their beignets? Cotton Board invested over $1.5 million into cottonseed research and marketing last year with Cotton Incorporated, including research on the health benefits of cottonseed oil compared to other oils. Our goal is to make cottonseed oil the preferred cooking oil in kitchens across the country, like a Café Du Monde in New Orleans. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton.
When it comes to farming in dry conditions, the formula for success is simple. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why growers looking to improve yield potential while protecting their bottom line rely on dry, tough, dryland cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Bred, tested, and made tough to handle the toughest growing conditions. Stay strong this season. Plant dry, tough, dryland cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Again, our special guest from Plains Cotton Growers, Sean Wade.
At Ag Texas Farm Credit, your success is our only purpose. We understand your financing needs and will be here to support you through it all. We specialize in traditional farming and ranching operations, recreational property, equipment and livestock, agribusiness, and country home loans, plus insurance and leasing. At Ag Texas, we're dedicated to the prosperity of agriculture and rural America. Ag Texas Farm Credit, your success, our purpose.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Keep up with Plains Cotton Growers online, plainscotton.org.
It's not for everybody. Not everyone is up that early or out so late. Few are out feeding at sunrise or hauling at sunset. Not everybody expects as much from their tractor, but for those who do, a Fendt makes all the difference. That difference is how it's built and what it can do. And from the moment you sit in one, you understand why the best run operations run Fendt. Test drive a Fendt today. Learn more at LivingstonMachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
Are you looking for a new opportunity? The King Ranch Institute for Ranch Management's Ranch Manager Job Board is open, with jobs posted from Texas, Idaho, New Mexico, Nebraska, Colorado, New York, Montana, Oklahoma, South Dakota, Oregon, Florida, even Mexico. Or are you looking for someone to manage a ranch? Find out more at the King Ranch Institute for Ranch Management online, krirm.com. It's the Agribusiness Report.
A quiet December for USDA's world balance sheet for soybeans.
We made some small changes to production driven by an increase in India of 500,000 tons based on an area increase based on data reported in India.
World Agricultural Outlook Board Chair Mark Jakodowski says this led to some slight changes to global soybean supply and demand categories.
Truing up some back year data suggests that ending stocks from the last year were about 900,000 tons higher than we expected. So that carries into 900,000 tons higher beginning stocks for the new marketing year and small changes to the rest of the balance sheet component. So the bulk of that just ends up in ending stocks, but small uptick in ending stocks this month.
No changes were made in the U.S. bean balance sheet from the previous month, including the season ending average price at $14 per bushel. I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.